Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We are 2 days into free agency. Well, technically, we're only a few hours in, but we're going to count the legal tampering period. And we're trying to figure out what direction is Kwesi Dopamensa have us going in? What is he prioritizing? How is he forming this team in his image? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Harrison Smith's contract restructure, and we're going to take some questions. Welcome to the Real Forno Show.
Real Forno Show, hosted by Tyler Fornes, the managing editor of USA Today's Vikings Wire, writer for the College Football Network, publisher of Substack, Run In Shooter, host of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungry on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, as well as a founding member of Vikings First and Skull.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of The Real Forno Show. I'm your host, Tyler Fornes. With me, as always, is producer Dave. And if you were here the other night, you know that today is technically our one-year anniversary. We didn't do our first video until the 15th, but we formed the channel on the 13th, the first day of the legal tampering period. And let me tell you, the growth that we've seen over the course of the last year has been remarkable. We set two what felt like unattainable goals, and we destroyed both of them easily. And that's it's an attribute to us, but it's also an attribute to you guys for appreciating us and coming here every week and interacting with us and enjoying what we do. So we're very grateful that you are here. Now, let's talk about our Minnesota Vikings, who, let's be real, they're a very interesting team right now. And if you were to go look at national coverage of this team, you wouldn't be getting a lot of that. You'd be getting a lot of people saying, oh, they need to tank. Oh, this, that, or the other thing. Oh, they should trade Justin Jefferson. I don't think they understand what's going on with how the Minnesota Vikings are constructing this team and this idea of the competitive rebuild. The competitive rebuild is just two words over the idea that, hey, we're going to try and win while shedding a bunch of ugly contracts and trying to fix the health of this roster and our salary cap situation. That's all it is. It's a moniker. It's not anything else. It's just talking about the little things. Okay. So when you look at everything all encompassing, if somebody makes fun of the idea of the competitive rebuild, they probably don't understand what's going on with it. The Vikings just want to try and win and maintain success while gutting the roster. The Vikings right now only have 12 players from the 2021 roster on the current roster right now. 12. That's significantly low. The only players from that 2021 draft class that are on the roster: Cam Bynum, Christian Darrisaw, Kenne Wongwu, Pat Jones. And that's out of, I think they had 11 or 12 picks. That is not a high success rate. So you're looking at a group of players that there really hasn't been a lot of continuity, and they're trying to build that continuity within this regime. So there, it's a very convoluted answer, and let's kind of use one of those players to transition to our main point, which was given to us just under an hour ago. Safety Harrison Smith has agreed to a restructure of his contract. Restructure, fancy word for pay cut. Now, I'm going to go off the information that was given to us, And everybody's interpreting it a little differently. A lot of people are saying that the Vikings are saving $10 million in salary cap space. I don't believe that to be the case. I think they're saving $5.45 million because the way Pelissero framed his second tweet was, according to, they got the number from the his agency, he will be making $9 million this year. Not a $9 million salary cap hit, making $9 million, which would mean a $5.45 million pay cut. Now, that's a smaller pay cut than what he took last year. Last year, he took a $6.7 million pay cut, but he had $2 million worth of incentives on top of that. So it could have been 4.7 if he hit all those incentives. I do not know what he did. I don't know what those incentives were off the top of my head, but it's notable that he took a smaller pay cut now than he did last year. So $9 million is still nothing to sneeze at. It is still a lot of money. And with a cap hit now of around just under $14 million, it's a lot more palatable. Now, his cap hit, to my knowledge, is still sitting at around $22 million for the 2025 season. That won't be the case. And what's wild is the Vikings right now have like $122 million in salary cap space right now for 2025. That's including that contract. So that number is going to change a lot over the course of the next few weeks. So I wouldn't worry about that number too much. I know a lot of people are talking about it. The Vikings themselves have talked about, hey, we want to go into next year having around $100 million in cap space. Pump the brakes a little bit. Let's play it calm. Let's kind of let the process go. But if the number ends up being that the Vikings save like $10 million on the salary cap, that's great. But based on the information given to us, I don't believe that to be the case. Look, it's good. Harrison Smith should not be making $14.5 million based on what his current play is. He's a very good player. I think $9 million is fair for both sides. It's fair for the player, and it's fair for the future of this team with the salary cap. Like, the whole reason that he ended up signing this contract is Rick Spielman kind of realized he was probably in his last year. Like, this is all theoretical for me, but he gave him like a legacy contract. Like, hey, here's a bunch of money for everything you did for us. Not exactly a great way to build a roster, but at that point he was just kind of trying to save face a little bit. That's my theory, at least. But yeah, Harrison Smith going to be sticking around for the 2024 season. I think that's a big positive for the Minnesota Vikings.
I think so, too. And if I'm correct, Harrison Smith predates Mike Zimmer. He's the only player that does. Yeah. He's been around that long. Definitely a Ring of Honor guy when all is said and done, and hopefully a Hall of Famer.
The only player that has been around since 2018, even, other than Harrison Smith, is Brian O'Neill. Garrett Bradbury, 2019. Jefferson 2020, Darisaw Bynum, Pat Jones 2021. Was CJ Ham around in 2018 or 2017? Because he might be the only one. I can't remember when he joined the Minnesota Vikings. It was around that time. So, like, there's been a ton of roster turnover. And let's be real, roster turnover is very normal in the National Football League. This kind of roster turnover is a little bit different. It's significant. Over 2 years, you basically gutted 80% of the roster. That's a lot. That is a lot. But the Vikings are kind of trending in a new direction. So let's have that conversation. We've kind of touched on it over the course of the last couple of days, talking about all the free agent moves that the Vikings have made. But at the end of the day, what direction are they going in? We know that they need a quarterback. And I did a long form piece for Vikings Wire just this morning, where I broke down the film of Jonathan Greenard and talked about, hey, what is he going to be for the Minnesota Vikings? And I came to this conclusion. Danielle Hunter is a better football player, but I think Brian Flores preferred Jonathan Greenard. And let me tell you why. Greenard isn't very fast, but he's very, very quick, especially off the ball. And in this defense, you need to be really quick off the ball, and you need to be able to get pressure quick. He was sixth in ESPN's pass rush win rate, which you have to win within 2.5 seconds. If you don't, it does not count as a win. One of Hunter's biggest strengths was winning late in the pass rush rep, was being able to get at you and then see what's going on, play that contain, and be able to stack, shed, and attack. Grenard's going to get at you real, real fast. And in a blitz-heavy scheme like the Vikings run, that's going to be massively beneficial because you have to get there fast because the quarterback's going to react fast. And there has to be that element of success. Not to say that Daniil Hunter is a bad football player or a bad fit for this defense. I think the preference of what Brian Flores wants is the prototype of Grenard. Plus, he's at 92nd percentile arm length, 34 7/8 inch arms. And look at those vines on his attached to his shoulders. They're huge. And he knows how to use them properly. And I think that's a really massive benefit in how he likes to win because he doesn't like the blockers to engage him at all. And he can prevent that with active hands, swiping away the blockers and being able to use a long arm because he usually has a better reach than they do. So we're trying to learn what the Vikings are trying to prioritize. And in the draft, to kind of make it an all-encompassing point with Grenard and kind of some of his measurables and play style, we don't really have a direct correlation like we did with Rick Spielman. Like, oh, they're going to draft these types of players. The Packers have been drafting these types of players for 30 plus years. Ever since, I don't know if he's in the Hall of Fame, but he probably should be. GM Ron Wolf took over running the football front office of the Green Bay Packers. Just a tremendous outlook on the game and instituting generic thresholds to make sure that you're getting the proper talent in. It's really hard to argue. They've had what, like three losing seasons since 1992, maybe four. They've had an astounding era of success. And we're trying to figure out what that means for the Minnesota Vikings, because the first draft, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah was using the old scouts. And that's a very normal process. If you come in January, you're not hiring a new scouting staff because there's all this data that they've gathered throughout the course of the last 9 months. So you use that data and you try to make the best decisions. Then you replace people with guys that you want. That's kind of how the scouting process goes. Head coaches get fired after week 18. Scouts get fired after the draft, which feels really odd because you don't really get the results on those guys from X, Y, and Z. But that's the general process. So we're trying to figure out all these things. And we really don't have a concrete answer. I have been kind of talking in circles and circles and circles at this point. But we're going to try and understand some of these things. Dave, when you kind of look at the all-encompassing view of Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and how we're building out this team, what is one thing that really stands out to you?
That he is now on his plan. And I think his plan's been there all along. I think the first year was prove it with the old squad. And I think now he's working towards his vision. I think this is very much his vision. Now, who picks the players? Who gives the shopping list? On defense, that's obviously Brian Flores. And on offense, that's KOC. But I think he's doing his bit. One, to get us cap healthy. Yes, we're spending over $57 million in dead cap this year. Next year, we'll have well over $100 million in available cap. Will that help when we're signing, anticipate signing JJ for a massive contract? Yes. When it comes to re-signing Darisaw for a massive contract? Yes. Oh, absolutely. And I could see getting that young rookie quarterback to build upon that gives you time and to set the new standard. He's getting younger. The team is older now. Having Hitman on there obviously adds to our age, but then I think that's a sacrifice he's willing to take. Obviously, they pushed Harry to be there. They want him there, and that's why today's deal was done. I think Kwesi, the Vikings Twitter sphere has been absolutely psychotic, is how I described it. People are saying, Kwesi's destroying the team. Oh my God. And these are the same people that are talked about, tear it down and rebuild it. Same people, right? And it's, you didn't see it as much coming if you if you didn't think about it, because there wasn't the what Brian Foles or whatever his name is, Poles down in Chicago did, where you saw him tear it apart almost immediately. You didn't see that. You've seen the quote competitive rebuild, but he is getting the job done, and the Vikings have remained relatively competitive. Even when Kirk Cousins went down with the Achilles, we won a couple games after that. So it's, I can see where the Vikings are going. We are about to embark on a new era. Mm-hmm. This will be the Kwesi and KOC era coming up in full fruition. And I'm excited as hell because I'm looking forward to it. Some people say, hey, he's not a football guy. Well, he's been working in the football NFL for almost two decades now. And yes, he's got some chops. Did he come from a different point of view? Yes. Will that different point of view help? That's yet to be determined. But I'm all for trying it because the old point of view didn't get us anywhere. 63 years and zero Super Bowl wins.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm ready for something new, and I think he's taking us there. Now, people don't see that because they're used to old. They're used to comfortable. And I think this is a little bit uncomfortable for them. Just like when people saying, hey, we need to pay this guy. Oh, we paid him too much. They're not adjusting to the cap raising. They're not adjusting. They're thinking, hey, you know, paying would it be a backup quarterback, a bridge quarterback, up to $10 million. I think 8 point something's guaranteed. Oh, that's starter money. No, it's not. It's not even close.
Yeah.
Right? And it's, I think it's all part of the plan. We're still healthy. Smith got his contract, you know, renegotiated. Hitman, he's good. We have some little bit more freedom. We still can go out and do things. Not all teams can. And not all teams have, you know, the ability or the GM willing to do things. And I'm happy we do. Just ask Chicago. Pay from the Bear Claw podcast was lamenting that earlier on the earlier show of who will be king. It's driving him crazy. Hey, I do want to thank Don Claddy for the super chat, $1.99. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
But I think it's a good thing. But before we go on, I do want to thank everybody that has watched us, listened to us, and read our stuff for Vikings First and Skull. Tyler and I, along with Darren, talked about this last year as SB Nation got rid of the majority of their NFL podcast streams, where to go and how to go about it. We were part of Climbing the Pocket, good organization, great people, right? But we had a vision disagreement on where to go. Tyler and I and Darren wanted to go a different way, and so we did. And within this year, this symbolic anniversary of the new league year, we surpassed our even notional goals. I didn't think we'd even get close to this. Mm-hmm. And it's all thanks to you, the viewer, the listener, and the reader. And from my heart, honestly, guys and ladies, I can't appreciate you enough. You really make it for us, and we are so happy you are here. And hopefully the Vikings will make you just as happy as we are today. And happy new league year to you and all of you out there.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool thing. And I think I was the one who set both of those goals for us, because our goal was 1,000 by the beginning of the year and then 3,000 by the draft. And we just absolutely slaughtered both of them. And it wasn't even close. And I'm really, really excited the fact that where this is going. And I'm going to say it now. Our next big goal is 10,000 by next year's draft. Why 10,000? That's a pretty round number. And the way the trajectory is gone, I think it's doable because within a year we got to about almost 3,100, and then that you get about double that considering how algorithms work. Like it's a steep climb at once you get to a certain point. So we're very grateful. But let's get kind of transitioned. I think we need to talk about the salary cap, Dave, and that's a really big part of the discussion about how the Vikings are being shaped moving forward. And I think you brought up a really good point that people just don't understand what the salary cap used to look like and what it looks like now. So I'm going to read off some salary cap numbers. Now, it's important to note that they had a massive shrinkage of the salary cap from 2020 to 2021 because of the COVID-19 year. The players ended up taking a little bit of a hit because ownership also took a hit. And this is a partnership. And this is what happens when you have a collectively bargained league. If one side takes a hit, the other side takes a hit. Like, that's kind of how things work. So in 2019, the salary cap was $188.2 million. In 2020, the COVID year, it didn't go down during the COVID year because COVID hit like the first day of free agency. All right. $198.2 million. Then it dropped to $182.5 million. Back up to $208.2 in 2022, $224.8 last year, and $255.4 this year. So you're talking about just from 2021, where it was $182.5 million, you are talking, Dave, about a $73.2 million growth in the salary cap over a three-year period. $3 million a year 3 years ago was starting guard money. It's not anymore. Multiple guards got $20 million this week per year. That wasn't even heard of a few years ago. The only guard that ever got that was Quentin Nelson. Zach Martin didn't even hit 20. I think the highest he ever hit was 18. And when you look at
got it.
Ezra got like 9.
It was like 18 something.
No, Ezra got like 9.5 million a year.
No, I thought it was closer to 18. I thought it was
3 years, 29 and a half.
Hey, I want to thank Fort Matty Man for the $10 super chat. Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Ezra got less than $10 million a year, but I mean, that's starting hard money. And Dalton Risner went on social media saying all he wants is a starting guard contract. Well, we'll kind of see what ends up happening. I'm very curious to see why the Vikings haven't really engaged, at least publicly. We haven't heard that they've had any conversations. I know Darren Doogie Wolfson on the Scoops podcast he does with Score North said there really hasn't been any communication between the two sides. I know, Odie, you want a starting left guard too. I get it. You want to protect the new quarterback. But it's a difficult conversation to have. And it's something that when you have new information, you need to evolve and adapt your opinion. $3 million ain't starter money anymore. A kicker, Jake Elliott of the Eagles, just got a deal 4 years, $24 million. $6 million for a kicker. This is the world we're living in now. If you want to go back and look at Matt Castle, Matt Castle was making like $4 million in 2014, the year we drafted Teddy Bridgewater. The salary cap was almost half of what it was, $133 million. Sam Darnold making $10 million right now is pretty dang close to on par with what that Matt Castle contract was. So he's really not making that much money, even though that number, $10 million, oh my gosh, he's making way too much. That's the going rate for a quarterback of his ilk. Yeah, I know, Odie.
It's a paradigm shift that people got to get used to. I do want to answer Pappy. Yes, losing Kirk and losing Daniil do qualify for the compensatory picks, but we've already signed free agents that are going to cancel that out, so we're getting nothing. Norsevius is right.
Well, let's wait. That could change. That could change completely over the course of the next few weeks, because the compensatory window doesn't close until like 2 weeks after the draft. So the Vikings could still lose a few free agents, and if they qualify, then once you get to a certain amount, then it will cancel out by money. If you sign more than you lose, they all cancel out. But if you lose more than you sign, then it cancels out by dollar amounts. So the Vikings still could get a third round compensatory pick. They'd only get one because the Grenard pick should cancel out Danielle Hunter and bada bing, bada boom. So it's not, the Vikings could end up having a compensatory pick. We'll find out. I genuinely don't know, but the salary cap is, they want to have over $100 million in salary cap space. Right now, going into the 2025 season, the Vikings are sitting with a whopping $129 million in salary cap space. Dave, that's a lot. But a lot is going to change over the course of the next few months. So I would hold off on that. There's no Justin Jefferson on there. Harrison Smith, that is $22 million, is on there. Christian Darrisaw's fifth-year option isn't on there. There's a lot of things on there that aren't accounted for. Yeah, I know Odie. Odie's whining because he knows Mama's home, but Mama is with Cheddar. Yeah, he don't like me.
Well, I saw Odie. We saw his tail walk behind you at one point in time.
If I throw one of his toys, we got toys from BarkBox or Bully Make. Mm-hmm. So they're really hard toys. Maybe he'll play.
Donk.
Nope, no, no. Nope. Yeah, I know you can hear the thump. But he'll,
you had a little white one that he liked so much.
Oh yeah. That was a silver one. It's too far away from me. It's actually okay. The shape of a doggy. But yeah, he's just jealous, and he really is starting to love Cheddar, but they're just a little oil and water right now. So that where we're getting there. I want to talk about kind of the rest of some of these structures, and I want to, here, Dave, hold the fort for a minute. I'm going to try and console Odie.
All right, you do that. I'm going to answer Joshua's question. He said, can we talk about Cousins losing at the negotiating table this year? Kirk wanted a 3-year fully guaranteed and contract, and he got neither. No, he got a 4-year contract with $100 million guaranteed in the first 2 years fully guaranteed, along with the no-trade clause, which is signature of his agent, Mike McCartney. Mike McCartney, obviously a Hall of Fame agent, by far. If you look at the total number of money under contract, Kirk Cousins comes in second to Tom Brady with totals, with a little over $300 million that he's going to make, and Tom Brady made a little over $302 million and played longer, obviously. Now, 4 years from now, we'll put Kirk Cousins right around going into his year 40 year. So, and inflation on top of that. So Kirk Cousins has done pretty good. Now, did he get everything he wanted? No, obviously not. 3 years guaranteed? No, he didn't get it. But he did get over two years guaranteed with $100 million guaranteed. So, hey, he's taking care of his family. He cared, you know, about that. Whereas Hitman wanted to be a Viking, stayed a Viking, and took the sacrifice to be a Viking over that. You can see there's a big difference between the two. I'm glad Hitman is still here. I hope that he does enough to push him over the top and get him in the Hall of Fame where he belongs, where he should be. And that's where it should. Jared, Hitman renegotiated his salary today, brought it down. He will be playing in his 15th season this season. And I couldn't be happier. Absolutely happier.
So I wanted to kind of comment on that. I actually don't think Kirk Cousins lost at the negotiating table. I think he won. And here's why. He got $100 million guaranteed. He got $50 million right off the bat, you know, on a signing bonus. One, that's nuts. Two, his salaries in year one and two are fully guaranteed. So that's a total of $90 million. 10 years for injury only. But that invests into a full guarantee the second or the third day of the league year next year. And that's not going to change. Thank you for the super chat. Greatly appreciate it.
All the way from Japan.
Oh, hell yeah. I love Japan. I really want to go to Corken Hall for a wrestling show so bad. Now to get back on topic, if they were to cut him after 2025, after 2 years, there'd be 10 years fully, 10 million fully guaranteed, and 25 million in signing bonus that has not been accounted for yet, at least if there's not a void year. So if there's not a void year, then it's a $35 million dead cap hit, Dave. And if there is a void year, it's a $40 million dead cap hit. That's a lot of money to cut him. So essentially, year three is fully guaranteed. And then after year three, you can cut him for $12.5 million in dead cap. By that point, $12.5 million is going to be like a pittance. So he I actually think he won because he basically got a three-year fully guaranteed deal with how everything will end up being structured. And he's coming off of a torn Achilles. Think about that. He's coming off of a torn Achilles tendon. And he got that kind of contract. Absolutely incredible. The guy always wins at negotiating. March is his Super Bowl. And I don't mean that as an insult, because obviously he wants to win. He wants to get to the Super Bowl. But gosh, he's so good in March. And his agent deserves all the money in the world.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I wish we were all that good at negotiating salaries.
Yeah. All right. I want to talk about one more contract to kind of talk about that flexibility element. So, well, one, Sam Darnold, all of his money is in this season. There are no void years. So that's important to note. Two, the contract of Blake Cashman, I want to talk about, because I think it's a really impressive contract. And it's something, a structure the Vikings have used before. When you look at the structure of his contract and the structure of Josh Oliver's contract, they're almost identical. First year, fully guaranteed salary. Second year, basically a fully guaranteed salary. Third year, you can cut for about $2.5 million. That's the same concept. So if he stinks and isn't going to be good enough to carry for year three, you can get rid of him. Josh Oliver is the same way. It's trying to get value for the position. And tight end and linebacker are two positions where you can find requisite value, because the NFL hasn't necessarily valued those positions nearly enough. And you can get better bang for your buck. And especially a guy like Cashman, because Cashman is a really good run defender, and he's really good in coverage. And he can rush the passer, which is going to be key for the Vikings because of blitzing. That's going to be really key for them. And I'm a really big fan of the idea of how that contract is structured. Right, Odie? Yeah. Odie thinks so too. Yeah. If you guys don't know, this is Odie. He is my 1.5-year-old Frenchie. And he's just a good boy.
He is a good boy.
He's a very good boy.
Rap says, are you ready? We got something special in mind when we run up to the draft. Just to let you know, Rap is a great fellow Vikings news creator. If you want to check out his channel, it's at Vocal Vike. He is very, very good, and he's a talented musical artist on top of that. We're glad to have him here.
Yes, absolutely. All right. If you guys have questions in the chat, go ahead and throw them in. I'll answer a couple of them. I'm going to go to my Twitter, because I sent out a call for questions earlier today, and I got some really good ones that I want to kind of dive into.
Thanks, Scooch.
Mr. Shadow at Love Hate Vikes asks, how does the amount of cap space that they're going to have next year affect this current roster and upcoming draft? And I think that's a really, really interesting question. If they want a guy to stick around, they're going to have them stick around. Like, the cap space is there, and they want to have a lot of cap space for flexibility. But if you're good enough, they're going to keep you. Like, they're going to keep Justin Jefferson. They're going to keep Christian Darrisaw. So if they have an opportunity to pounce on a guy who becomes available, I think they're going to do that. But they want to have that peak flexibility, especially if, let's say, they get that quarterback. Let's say it's JJ McCarthy, and McCarthy emerges, and year two looks to be just an incredible, like, hey, this could be a springboard. Maybe they go balls to the wall in free agency and get like three or four guys and be like, hey, let's go win a Super Bowl right now. Like, that's a very possible thing. And that's why you want to have that kind of flexibility with the rookie quarterback. Joe Burrow, they had that rookie flexibility with him too. In 2021, they signed DJ Reader to a 3-year big money deal. Well, guess what? Reader became like the centerpiece of their defense and was phenomenal for them. And now he's visiting Detroit, and it makes me really, really sad, because if he ends up a Detroit Lion, I'm going to cry. But those are the kind of things that you can do. If there's a big name free agent, like if there were a Danielle Hunter, the Vikings could go get him. That's what the Texans just did. They got the quarterback. They're in a Super Bowl window right now. And you get a few pieces, you can make that happen. Yeah, so Odie, I know. Yeah, it would be really exciting to go to a Super Bowl. So if you make that happen with the rookie quarterback, that's one of the reasons why you want that flexibility. But if they see a guy that can help long term, if they find an opportunity to get another TJ Hockenson, that's what they'll do. They will make that kind of trade. But I don't think they're going to look at a temporary 1-year signing. Aaron Jones is a good 1-year signing, but they're not gonna, I don't think, with kind of how free agency has played out, and I know I talked about it last week, that hey, maybe they'll give like Chase Young a 1-year prove it deal. I think those are not going to happen anymore because of what we've seen. And I think that if they were to sign somebody, it'd be like a 3 or 4 year deal, maybe 2, but longer term, because we want you to be here for the long haul. We want you to be here to make noise and help us win a Super Bowl. So that's kind of how I see the cap space, as Odie is just like, oh, that scratches.
I know. He's looking at it. He's being good.
I saw somebody say that they sub for me. I'd sub for Odie too. So I don't blame you one bit. Hey,
we've got over 200 people watching. Let's get those likes up. We've only got 45. Love to get.
And hey, you want to subscribe and ring the bell, because we will go live at random times when news breaks. We didn't go live for the Harrison Smith restructure because it happened 40 minutes before our show was about to start. So we were already going live. And that's why we talked about
finishing up the NFC North show. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. There's a couple questions.
There is new that you forgot to add.
What?
Facebook.
Oh, yeah. We have a Facebook now. Search Vikings First End School on Facebook and you can find us. And I'm going to share a lot of my articles there. There will be topics for discussion, and it's going to be a good place where you're going to be able to find everything that we do out on and outside of YouTube. And we're going to get kind of it synced up. So podcasts will pop up. I know Dave was having some issues earlier today trying to get the live video to sync up. We're going to try and get that going, because I know we've been doing it with other pages. So we'll
continue to with Daily Norseman.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're really excited about that. And it's going to just help continue to build this fun little community. So go like it. Hooray, hooray. All right.
And more to come.
Jobu asks, as far as the competitive rebuild, 2024 being the last year dead cap space, this has to be rock bottom. Am I crazy for thinking this is not too bad? No, it's not too bad. Look, this team is still good. They're not great. They're probably not winning the NFC North, but they're not a disaster. They're not a tire fire. Last year, they weren't even a tire fire, and they went 7-10. Like, this is a team that can stay competitive, and this is one of the things when you're talking about a competitive rebuild. The Vikings can still compete for a playoff spot, even though they're in a massive transition year, because they have the infrastructure in place. They have high-end pieces at premium positions, and they have an offensive guru who can really orchestrate a great unit on that side of the football. I don't think they're winning the North. They may lose both games to the Lions this year. But when you look at things, you could have a lot of really fun games. There will be a lot of competitive games. And not just that, there's a lot of talent with this team. There's going to be too much talent for them to only win 4 games unless they have just a bunch of devastating injuries. So I don't think that this is too bad at all. And you know what? This probably is rock bottom unless they bomb the quarterback. if the quarterback just doesn't work, then we can have another discussion. But I'm going to look at the more positive side. I think quarterback will work, but that's also a big question. One more from the Facebook side, and then we're going to go to YouTube. Sick Rosa and Jamie Cooker both ask about Mike Williams, and I'll read. Sick Rosa wants to know about him as a three, and Jamie was asking about him being released and if he might be a good fit for the Vikings. I don't think so. You want a guy that has a lot of size or more size than what the Vikings have. Because look, Jefferson's not small, but he's not big. He's a skinny 200 pounds at like 6'1". You'd like to have a guy 6'2 and a half, 205, that can be more of a jump ball kind of, hey, I need you to go win. Jefferson can do that. It's not his specialty. And I would prefer to not have him in those situations if you can help it, because like he's a skinny guy. I don't want him in situations that could accentuate him possibly getting hurt. And when those physical kind of situations, that's where you start to worry about it. The idea of Williams, I understand. I don't think Williams does enough things well in this Kevin O'Connell offense. Norris Fies. I like Jobu, but he know me hit the curveball. Major league reference. Phenomenal. I don't think he would fit well enough in Minnesota, because I don't believe he would. He's not going to run a lot of those in breaking routes. He's more of a vertical stretch threat. And you do that in this offense, but you don't do that in the way that like the Chargers did and the Chargers prioritized. So I'd be out on Mike Williams. Plus, I think the price will be too high.
Now, we have a Brandon Ding, Lions fan, wants to talk about how the division is pretty strong. And I think it's probably going to be one of the best divisions in the league, personally. But you talk about receivers. There was nobody like Megatron, right? Following Randy Moss, both 6'4" type. Would we like somebody like that can run that fast and make those jump balls? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But they're far and few between. So if we find one, hopefully we can snag him.
Yeah. Megatron was a freak. 6'5", 235, and ran a 4.35 40. You're never going to find that again. That is Optimus Prime. That is a transformer. That is not a human. That is a machine. And he's just special. Breaking news. Eric Kendricks is not going to be a 49er anymore. He's going to go play for Zimmer in Dallas.
Really? Because I saw the Niner news earlier this morning. That's interesting.
That, you know what? That's kind of cool. Good for him. Couple more on the YouTube side, and then we are going to go. Who was it? There's somebody that asked a WrestleMania question. Cause and effect. My thoughts on WrestleMania at US Bank Stadium next year. Look, I'll probably won't go to WrestleMania because I'm going to be real. I think WWE sucks. And I think that whole organization needs to be stripped from top to bottom and rebuilt with people that aren't scummers. But WrestleMania weekend, if they can actually get the indies built up well enough where you can get another good WrestleMania weekend, I'm in. WrestleMania weekend used to be great because you could go to like the Mark Hitchcock Memorial Show at WrestleCon, and you could get like some really cool, unique shows. Impact would always do a show. Ring of Honor is Super Card of Honor. You could go to some really awesome stuff. And I think they would be in a close enough area where you could like not have to drive 30 minutes, where in some metro areas, you're going to have to like in New York, you'd be taking the train from like downtown New York City to New Jersey. Like, I think with how Minnesota would have things structured, I think it'd be great. But we'll see. All right. Do we have any other questions on the YouTube side, Dave?
Well, we got for Facebook. Aaron says, who wins the race between Zim and Kendricks? I'd have to give it to Kendricks. Zim's a senior citizen, but I'm glad that he has one of his guys there. I think the Dallas defense is going to be fun to watch next season.
Oh, God, it's going to be awesome.
And when Dallas plays Atlanta, I can't wait. I drool over that game because that one's going to be fun, because I think there's going to be a little revenge, and it's not on the Kirk Cousins side of the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be pretty great. Yeah, Dave, I think that's our show. What awesome show. I'm going to wrap it up a little early today because there's just not a whole lot of news, and we're still trying to understand the schematics of what Quasi Do Flamenco is going to be. We're going to have more information. We are going to have a show here coming up where I'm going to kind of talk about how Quasi Do Flamenco has utilized the draft as, and what, like, how athletic his rookies have been and what he's prioritized in those spots. I know year one was a 10-yard split, but year two wasn't. So what can we take and what can we see as a trend? We're going to look at that. We're going to talk about, we'll probably spend Monday talking about some free agents that we could potentially look at in wave two, because wave one is mostly over at this point. You still have a couple high profile guys, but most everybody is committed to signing somewhere. And the defensive tackles have mostly dried up. You've got Sheldon Rankins, Tier Tart, Eric Armstead, and now you're just kind of waiting for guys to get cut. And we'll kind of see how that ends up impacting everything. But we will be back later this week. If anything breaks, Dave and I will jump on and we will do a show for you guys. Otherwise, we will not be back until Sunday with two old bloggers. Normally we try and have a skull search on Thursday, but let's just be real. Dave needs a break. So we're going to make sure he has one. And we'll try and get a few more skull searches done before the end of the year. And if we can't, we may just start talking like straight up prospects on the show, so you guys can get a better sense of a lot of these guys. And thank you guys very much. Yeah.
Go ahead. I do want to tell Brandon, we will be talking about the rest of the division probably after the draft as we get into it, but you can catch us every week on the NFC North Roundup show called Who Will Be King. We rotate who the host is. I hosted today. You can find it on our channel. Next week will be, I think, June from Bleachers to Speakers, and then we rotate to Pay from the Bear Claw podcast. We're still looking. Fans First Sports Network is still looking for a competent Green Bay Packers podcaster. We've tried a couple, and they've both gotten fired. So we're still looking. So if you know anybody that's willing to podcast on the Green Bay Packers, have them contact me or have them contact Fans First Sports so we can get them in there and join the banter that is, you know, the NFC North family. We all love to pick on each other, and especially on Green Bay. So if they are there. But we talk NFC North every week on Who Will Be King. Just got to look out for it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you guys very much for joining us. We're going to have a lot more great stuff in year two, including live broadcasting days two and three of the NFL draft. You will not want to miss anything that we have coming for you leading up to the draft, during the NFL draft, and then afterward as well. I'm Tyler. He's Dave. This is Odie. Bye, everybody.
What do we say, Skull buddy? Skull Vikings. Like, subscribe, and ring the bell to get notifications. It helps us grow this community, and we all love our Minnesota Vikings. And on behalf of Tyler Fornes and myself, Dave Stefano, thank you so dearly for watching The Real Forno Show. Skull, everyone! This has been a Vikings First and Skull production, part of the Fans First Sports Network.